Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So I'll say, begin with, when you have a very good pianist playing for worship, it means that when she comes in and you ask her, can you play something just before the sermon, she just says yes. And so thank you, Zhao, I appreciate that this morning. And so I want you to listen to this very short phrase that'll be played and see if you can place these notes in this rhythm. And can you play it once on piano?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm unorganized today. I'm sorry. You may recognize those notes from the iconic NBC segment, The More You Know. For over 30 years, celebrities have endorsed information and awareness to viewers about relevant topics that affect our everyday lives. From issues related to food or housing insecurity, mental health, even the PSAs about being kind to one another, the power of reading, playing, and voting. And often in that 30-second clip, if you remember, they name some painful realities of living. But they always end with encouragement to seek help and that change is possible. And I'm wondering if you could play it one more time. Dr. Zhao, maybe we can picture a giant star going across. The more you know. Thank you. Thank you. Jeremiah, like every prophet, is called by God to be in the public square, to confront an entire nation, to let them know what God has to say about the way they are living. This morning, we step into a courtroom where God, the plaintiff, accuses the nation of a breach of their covenant, their relationship, by forsaking God and following idols. God says, they have forsaken me. They do not know me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that hold no water. By forsaking God and not knowing God, life is unsustainable. Not just for some people, but because of some people, the entire nation suffers for it. Jeremiah is prophesying during a time of national unrest and division. He begins his prophetic call around the year 627 when King Josiah ruled the northern kingdom. The Assyrian Empire, which gripped Judah for some time, was starting to weaken after their leader was killed. And so King Josiah saw an opportunity to rebel and reform, to make Jerusalem and Judah great again, just as they were under King David. He centralized temple worship of Yahweh, aligning the nation more closely with the laws of Moses and eradicating idolatry. This may sound noble and faithful. However, we can imagine that when Josiah began ordering the removal and destruction of altars, reinstating a sacrificial system of Passover, that this noble quest for helping the nation live in right relationship with God was becoming more interested in religious purity. And because at this time, religion and nation were one, it was also about national purity. We can imagine perhaps easier because of the times we're living in, that when religion serves religion for the sake of religiosity, it becomes an idol, replacing an authentic relationship with God with ritual, performance, and exclusive dogmas. Events continue to spiral as the nation's situation worsens. After King Josiah dies, his son Jehoiakim assumes the throne. And if you're hoping that maybe it just gets a little bit better, you would be wrong. Jehoiakim rules as an authoritarian, leading the nation further away from what his father envisioned and further from what God hoped for a nation that said it trusts it in God. From the CEB, God confronts Jehoiakim for making idols of luxury and his ego, saying how terrible for Jehoiakim, who builds his house with corruption and his upper chambers with injustice, working his countrymen for nothing, refusing to give them their wages. He says, I'll build myself a grand palace with huge upper chambers, ornate windows, cedar paneling, and rich red decor. Is that what makes you a king? Says God. Having more cedar than anyone else? Didn't your father eat and drink and still do what was right and just? He defended the rights of the poor and needy. He ensured they had enough and were provided with when they needed to survive. Isn't that what it means to know me, your God? A king, more concerned about his personal brand, wealth, and business, rather than a responsibility to ensure the people he was responsible to look over, they had everything they needed. Jeremiah says, you do not know God. To know God is more than just reading the Bible from cover to cover. Every once in a while, I come across people asking how many times I've read the Bible from cover to cover, or about arguing the right doctrine or the right theology, making sure it's airtight for anyone to dispute you. Just like to truly know a good friend is not just to recite posts on their Facebook page or facts about their life. No, to know God is relational, it's experiential, to recognize God's blessings moving in your life and to give thanks to God for that. However, Jeremiah, along with every prophet in Scripture, goes a little bit further than just this personal feeling with God, but that when someone really knows God, then they will really know the poor and the marginalized around them. In other words, a deeper relationship with God will deepen their relationship with those around them, especially those who are suffering. Those who know God sit with them, listen to their stories, defend their rights, and advocate for their life. Did you hear that? It's not just about seeing the poor or writing a check. But to love God is to truly love them and be present. If I didn't know better, it seems that Jesus took that rather seriously in his ministry. Talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus says not only to feed the hungry or house the unhoused, release the prisoner, and care for the foreigner, but whenever you do that, you are actually doing it to me. Matthew 25. That seems to be the biblical measuring stick of whether we truly know God, whether we truly know and care for our neighbors. Verse 8 of this morning's passage makes clear that this is a time when people do not know God, the king, the prophets, the rulers, those who keep the law, don't even ask the question, where is God? Be appalled, says God. Be shocked, says God. In this nation, there are 140 million poor or low-income workers. That is 39% of the population. 140 million people. This includes 61% Latino, 55% Black, and 32% white people. 100 million Americans have medical debt burdens. That is 29% of the population. These are people who sought life-giving care, now only to get their body or mind back to a balance, but now they have to make impossible choices about paying rent or paying for medicine. And those statistics come from 2024. Since then, we have a president and a legislature that passed a budget bill, knowing that its cuts will harm many, especially the poor and down and out. One of those cuts is to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which will endure a $186 billion dollar cut in 9 years. $186 billion cut. It's already having direct impacts on this community. It's immoral. It's unjust, and it won't hold water. Despite declining crime numbers, the president has taken control of D.C.'s policing, our own governor capitulating his request for the National Guard. 1,000 arrests so far, mainly on unhoused and poor people, nearly all of them considered minor offenses. Joanna Hardy, a resident of D.C., recalled seeing a platoon of law enforcement agents march into a cookout last Friday night. And she said, "You would think that more police would make people safer, but it is bringing a sense of fear to the community. It's immoral, it's unjust, and it won't hold water." This past winter, you all blessed me by allowing me to attend a conference on the southern border to learn firsthand about the immigration crisis. I learned a hidden history not taught in our schools about U.S. military intervention in South America, regime changes, and intended instability for our nations to prosper. I learned about U.S. corn subsidies in the 90s that made it cheaper for a Mexican farmer to purchase American corn than to sow and harvest their own fields. And those corn subsidies drove an entire farming class to border towns, to factories where they would work for not a living wage. And then what do you think happens when they couldn't feed their baby or take care of an ill parent? They did what anyone who loves someone else would do, cross the border to support their family. Many do not know this, but the wall that has been built through the Clinton administration and added on every year was designed to force vulnerable people to endure the most dangerous stretch of desert in the world. According to Humane Borders research, there have been 4,288 deaths from 1981 to 2023. The true number is lost to an unforgiving desert. It's immoral, it's unjust, and it will not hold water. Jeremiah challenges us this day, asking each of us if we truly know God. Really think about that. And I'm saying that to myself, who carries a lot of privilege, to think about, do we really know God? The prophet is called in their time and place to remind the people and the priests and the legislature and the king about the source of living water. It was 60 years ago today, or 60 years ago, not today, but years, that Martin Luther King Jr. shared these words that are still relevant. "We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. This is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action. As people of faith, as people of Christ, we must speak up. We must speak of the love and justice we call and name as God. We must learn the stories of our neighbors, build friendships that go beyond our safe and comfortable tribe. We must do so in a way that never denies another's humanity, even those who may say hateful and vengeful words to try to break us. Rest assured, whenever injustice rears its ugly self or hateful and violent policies are passed, there will be a church waiting to say, "We understand and know God. We know love. And this is not it." Whenever the well-being of our neighbor is threatened, there will be a church that says, "No, that neighbor is made in the image of God, and they require living water, not stagnant water that is dripping away." If tomorrow the powers that be overreach their mandate, ignore what's best for we the people, there will be a church so rooted on what is eternal that they will continue to live love among themselves and in their community no matter what. We know a God who is just and loving and compassionate, who tends to those who are afraid and in need. And that is the God who calls us, invites us to join God. Will it be hard? It'll probably be the hardest thing we ever do. Standing in the public is never easy. It requires us to risk our comfort, our relationships, even our bodies. Will we see the promised land? No. And yes. We won't see an end to oppression or egotistical kings, but we each have been given gifts by God to create the kingdom near us. When we give our time to help someone, when we listen and carry the burdens of others, when we call our legislators who really need a strong reminder of what justice looks like, when we pick up the pieces of a shredded progress flag, replacing it with a more vibrant one, right there is the fullness of the kingdom of God. There will be days when we question everything we do and say. We will wonder if people like us. But those who know God, it is the way and the truth that leads to life and living water. Even our children know it. The more we know God, the more we love God. The more we know God, the more we love who God loves, which is everyone. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Amen.